outsiders. This will be over and over. To lead by an inning, big fat love. Find common ground to halt the spread of lies. And we must do it, big fat love. Find common ground to halt the spread of lies. And any.
All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Jim Fear 138 podcast. I hope that you are all doing well. I hope you've all been staying safe this week with all of the craziness that's just been going on. I mean, the KKK has just been roaming the streets. Just shooting black people and deporting Mexicans at will. You know, there's crowds of guys clubbing women over the head and just raping them right there. You know, women aren't allowed to vote anymore. You know, that's a thing. Oh, yeah, and the death camps have fired up to get rid of all of the Muslims. Haven't they? Of course, none of that has happened, and none of that's going to happen. So, to everybody out there who supported Hillary, well, to the reasonable ones out there, and there are a few, like, there's like five reasonable people out there who support Hillary, and I think I'm friends with most of them, to you guys, I would like to say I'm sorry that your candidate didn't make it. You know, it was a fair election, mostly. Except for the rigging that the DNC did. But I'm sorry that your candidate didn't make it. That's how it goes. You know, conservatives had to put up with this twice with Obama. So it's all about swallowing your pride, admitting that you lost, and looking forward to the future. If you're really serious about making the country a better place and you don't think that Trump's brand of conservatism is the right way to do it, and you may be right, then you need to look to the future. You need to look to the midterm elections, where we will be re-electing, re-voting on the House and the Senate. You need to keep an eye on politics. And this goes for everybody. Keep an eye on politics from now on. Because whether you're right or left, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, a Libertarian, a Green Party, I don't know. Do they build you people in factories? Are you just like drones? I'm not really sure how that works. You need to keep an eye on politics. Because Donald Trump is, according to him, going to be trying to do a lot. And there's a lot of it that I personally agree with. But we really need to hold his feet to the fire. And it doesn't matter what side of the political spectrum you fall on. We all need to hold his feet to the fire and the feet of the House and the Senate. Okay? So to all of the reasonable Hillary supporters out there, you know, I'm trying to be, you know, gracious. Trump wasn't my guy. Originally, I voted for Ted Cruz in the primaries. I went with Trump because it was down to Trump or Hillary. And I know far too much about Hillary to have a clean conscience voting for her. And I know enough about Trump that I can just about not throw up in my mouth when I hit vote on my little voting machine. So that was what I was down to. And I'm going to tell you guys, before you guys go off on me, because I've got something that I want to do here in a minute. Before you guys go off on me for voting Trump, I have never, in all of the presidential elections that I've taken part in all of the elections, period, that I've taken part in, had more of a conflict, a moral and spiritual and mental conflict than I did when I had filled in all of my ballots and there was that big button that said, you know, submit your ballot or vote or whatever the fuck it said. And I don't remember because I immediately came home and started drinking. I've never had an internal conflict like that before. I must have stood there for a good minute straight. And if you don't think that a minute straight is a long time to be, you know, sitting somewhere just not moving, just staring at something, asking yourself over and over again, dude, are you sure? Are you absolutely sure you want to do this? You've obviously never played a fighting game before. A minute is a long fucking time, and a lot can happen in a minute. And I'm not sure I made the right choice. I know for a fact that voting for Hillary Clinton is the wrong choice, so far as I'm concerned. Your calculus may have come up with a different answer. But so far as I'm concerned, Hillary Clinton is the wrong choice. I can't bring myself to vote for such a colossal fucking dopey pothead non-libertarian who somehow tricked the Libertarian Party into fielding him, like Gary Johnson. And Jill Stein is far too batshit crazy for me. So Trump was really the only candidate left. Process of elimination. He doesn't scare me as much as Hillary, and he's not as incompetent as the other two. It was a hard decision. I'm not necessarily proud of what I did, but this is where we are now. President-elect Donald Trump. Don't really know how to take that. Okay, now, if you're one of the reasonable Hillary people, you can go ahead and tune out now. You can just go ahead and just exit out of the tab. You don't have to listen to the rest of this. We've had our little talk. Not my guy, but the guy I voted for won. And I'm sorry your candidate lost, but this is just how a constitutional representative republic elects its officials. You know, America's not a democracy. We're a constitutional representative republic. It's much better than democracy. You know, mob rule kind of sucks when you're on the receiving end of the mob's ire. But y'all can go ahead and tune out now, because the rest of this podcast is just going to be like salt mining. That's pretty much it. Because if you've been following me on Tumblr or Twitter or Gab for the past, 2 days? It's Thursday right now, so yeah, about 2 days. I've just been salt mining the whole fucking time. So, now that the talk with the reasonable Hillary supporters is over and done with, and I'm glad we had this chat, and I hope you guys will keep an eye to the future, and I hope that we can actually come together and move this country forward, and that you guys aren't going to be like the people I'm about to address within the next 4 years. So now to all of the people who are freaking the fuck out right now, and you actually think that all of that stuff, all of that shit that I rattled off at the beginning of the podcast is actually gonna happen, to you, I have just one thing to say. Just one thing.
How's it taste, motherfucker?
This is what you get. This is your fault. People like Brianna Wu, people like Leigh Alexander, the mainstream media, Hillary Clinton herself, even Bernie Sanders, the Black Lives Matter people, Sean King, college professors, all of you people who threw all of your fucking weight behind Hillary, this is your fault. And I hope that crow tastes fucking delicious, because it sure looks good from where I'm sitting. watching Hillary supporters eat crow on social media all week, since the end of Tuesday, since Tuesday night, has just been it's been an experience, man. Because I've never been on social media during an election, and usually I didn't support any of the candidates either way. I went full on fucking Trumpkin, guys, and it's partially an act. partially an act. Trump started coming out with a lot of things in his policy, like the Gettysburg speech that he made. There's a lot of stuff in there that I do agree with, but I really don't know if he's going to do it. Like Mike Cernovich said, Trump is probably more of a centrist than a conservative or a libertarian. Still got some big government tendencies, not happy about that. But you motherfuckers who have been out there just stumping for Hillary and talking about how everybody who doesn't vote for her obviously hates black people and is an Islamophobic and, insert your other retarded phobics and isms here and ists, all of that shit, this is your fault. You drove this. You put the momentum behind that orange lunatic who was actually acting quite sober and humble when the results came back. At least I thought. But this is y'all's fault. So I hope it tastes good. All right. So, I got some shit here. Just like President-elect Donald Trump. I got my fucking notepad. I got me some, I actually went out special for this podcast. For this podcast, just because I've been feeling so good this week mining salt on social media. I went out and got some Devil's Cut Jim Beam specifically for this podcast. So I'm going to get me a sip. I'm gonna light me up a smoke. And we're gonna get into this. So did anybody see the pictures of Donald Trump at the White House? Like, he has that look on his face of, oh shit, this happened, this is real. And Obama just looks so asshurt. Just so asshurt, man. It is fucking hysterical looking at those pictures where Obama can swallow his pride and shake Trump's hand. That was gorgeous. That was worth all of it. The whole fucking thing. That was worth finding religion. That was worth finding religion, gang. And I actually did find religion, guys. I am now, I'll just come out and say it right now, special edition of the podcast. I am now a disciple of Keck. I don't see any other god worth believing in at this point. Because the only, literally the only explanation for this that I can come up with, apart from the Berenstain Bears universe, the alternate universe theory with the Berenstain and Berenstain Bears, the only explanation that I can come up with for this is obviously, obviously, and you just have to look around to see it. Obviously, the Egyptian god of chaos decided to get involved with the American presidential election, and Donald Trump is now president-elect. So, yeah, I'm going to the Egyptian pantheon. I'll see you Christians at Armageddon. Just praise Keck. You know, thank Keck for the meme magic. Because this couldn't have happened without it. It's just been, it's been so fucking funny to watch this develop over the past few months. Just like, now that it's over, just looking back and seeing all of the things that the Democrats and the left could have done to prevent this. But even at this point, even a year ago, if they had just stopped and just been like, okay, this isn't funny anymore. Let's stop calling everybody names. Let's stop crying when we don't get our way. Let's stop demonizing people who kind of disagree with us. And let's buckle down on making this country work properly again. Even if that had happened and Hillary didn't pull out the vag card once, or the deplorables thing, or, you know, all of the other shit that she accused Donald Trump and his ardent supporters of. There's no way they could have stopped this train. There's no way. This is something that has been years, almost a decade in the making. Actually, a little bit longer than a decade, because George W. Bush wasn't exactly the best president, period. He wasn't exactly the best Republican that they could have fielded back then. But it really just seems like all of the gaffes came out in the ninth inning just to cripple Hillary's campaign. And how else do you explain this but an Egyptian chaos god decided to look upon her with disfavor? How else do you explain it? I'm trying desperately to come up with something, but it's just not happening. There was all of the WikiLeaks information that came out. There was the fucking satanic ritual thing. There was 4chan investigating the government for child sex trafficking. And then, to crown it all up, the cherry on fucking top was the absolute concrete fucking proof that Obamacare does not work and it is absolutely fucking people and it needs to be repealed. It just all confluenced together and Hillary just couldn't handle it. That heat was too hot for her. I even heard that she was fucking crying the night the results came back. Like, she, that's why she didn't go out and make a speech, that she was just, like, weeping inconsolably and calling up friends and complaining about how the FBI Director Comey and President Obama didn't do enough to get her elected. Because it's always someone else's fault, isn't it? Oh, God, it's so sweet. It tastes so fucking good. It tastes so fucking good. But it's always someone else's fault with these types. They never take responsibility for their own mistakes. They never take responsibility for their own evil doing, their own misguided intentions. Nothing. It's never their fault. It's always somebody else's. And that's how, from what I hear, Hillary reacted to all of this. It was
Comey's fault. He didn't step up. It was Obama's fault. He didn't stomp hard enough.
When Obama was doing everything he fucking could to get the black people out there to vote for Hillary. Just wasn't gonna work. Wasn't gonna work. Them identity politics backfired on y'all like a motherfucker. Because that's what this all really comes down to. And this isn't on my list. This is just something that I'm just kind of thinking out loud here. But that's what this all really comes down to is identity politics. The identity politics fucking backfired. Y'all played identity politics to get Obama elected, and let's not even fucking pretend that Obama's first term. Let's not even pretend that he wasn't elected because he was black. Okay? He was elected because people wanted a first black president. Worked out great, didn't it? And that's not a slight against black people. You know? Obama's just an insane leftist who instituted shit like the Affordable Care Act that made it affordable for nobody, and then tried to leverage the power of the state to force people to get it, and then pointed to that as a success. Like, oh, well, we told people that we would fine them exorbitant amounts if they didn't sign up for Obamacare, and now people are signing up for Obamacare. See, it works. And then, like, 2 weeks before the fucking election happened, 2 weeks before voting day, 2 weeks. It came out that premiums are going to fucking skyrocket and that most states are down to a single provider. And it's not just fucking rich people, it's fucking poor people and it's fucking the middle class. Like, the water broke for Obamacare and it absolutely fucked Hillary. And oh my God, does it taste good. Oh, does it taste good. I keep coming back to that, but it really is fucking glorious to see these goddamn shitheels who have been telling us for years now that we're evil just because we're white. They've been preaching for so long that racism is a bad thing, and it is. It abso-fucking-lutely is. I've made this point several times on my podcast. Racism is fucking terrible. So then you set up this logical train of thought, and I'll go through the steps right here so you can understand exactly why Obama's presidency and all of this crazy rhetoric about racism completely fucking backfired on you people. So, we have premise one, right? Racism is bad. And it is. This is a true premise. Premise two, and this is where shit goes completely off the fucking rails. White people are racist. And not only are white people inherently racist, they are racist because they are white. And following on the heels of that, quote-unquote, people of color can't be racist because they don't have institutional power, despite the fact that a black man is president. Are you following along yet? Do I need to go slower? So, racism is bad. White people are racist. White people are racist because they're white. Non-whites can't be racist because they don't have institutional power, despite the fact that a black man became president of the most powerful country in the world. And every time white people try to be allies and show how not racist they are, they get shat on and called racist just because of their skin color, which is in itself an act of racism. And you expected this to not eventually, despite how fucking thick-headed white people are? You didn't expect this to eventually backfire and lead to a consolidation of white people who are sick and tired of being told that they're evil, racist bigots when they're not? You didn't really think that through? You didn't think that there was going to be some kind of backlash? You just thought that you could do whatever the fuck you wanted? And the people that you were demonizing for more than a decade weren't going to get together and do something about it? You leftists really are fucking retarded, aren't you? But after this, I really and truly do believe in the power of meme magic, y'all. It's been proven for me. All you have to do is go check out Red Panel's feed on Twitter. He would draw all kinds of cartoons, and it would be like, okay, well, yeah, that's happening, but he's dramatizing it a little bit, you know. He's using hyperbole for effect in delivering his message and everything like that. He's joking around, you know. Then his cartoons started becoming reality, and shit started to get a little bit real, so far as, like, my whole perspective on this thing is concerned. And Keck triumphed over Moloch in single combat. You know, the Thelema people out there. And just really, really fucking quickly. Really quickly. It's not satanic rituals, okay? The whole spirit cooking thing, it's not satanic. It's Thelema. It was designed by Aleister Crowley, okay? It's not the worship of Satan. They use, like, ancient gods and stuff like that, but it's not, they don't take that seriously. It's a totally different thing. I would have to go do more research to break it down more fully. You know, I've got some of Crowley's books. I've read The Law that Aleister Crowley wrote. Very interesting book, but this is not Satanism. This is a whole thing that was just, like, Aleister Crowley just kind of, like, pulled right out of his own asshole, okay? That was no match for Keck's meme magic. Oh, God. There's actually a really fucking funny and kind of scary and creepy WordPress account that's keeping track of, like, all of the weird shit that's going down, and, like, it explains the whole Pepe the Frog and Keck convergence in 4chan in image board culture, and how Keck speaks to his followers in repeating numbers and sigils, which are symbols and pictographs that everybody who kind of worships him uses to instill power in them and affect the world. It's like you put this idea out there through this sigil, and the universe basically takes care of the rest. Chaos magic. And it's a little bit creepy. I recommend you go read through it. This is going to be a long podcast, just so you guys know. Might be 2 hours. Not sure. We'll have to see. But in honor of our first orange president, I think I could do no less. So, yeah, it's been fucking crazy, and I'm just glad that the election is over. Why is Howard Dean trending on Twitter? Whatever. I'm just glad that the election is finally over, and after, you know, the Democrats stop shitting their pants like a bunch of spoiled children and rioting in the streets, that we'll be able to calm this down and actually get some shit done. Speaking of getting shit done, I was listening to Mark Levin's show earlier today, and speaking of Mark Levin, I've been reading his book, The Liberty Amendments, which I highly recommend you guys go read. Even if you're a Democrat, even if you're a liberal, it's very good shit. And even if you don't agree with what he says, you'll kind of get a feel for where the other side is coming from. But basically, the premise of that book is, you know, Mark Levin, as a constitutional scholar, notices problems with the Constitution that can be fixed by several amendments to the Constitution that instill things like a budget, a national budget that has to be ratified every year by May. Otherwise, you know, the budget from last year just carries over, except everything across the board is cut by 5%. You know, or congressional term limits. Like, you can't serve more than one term in Congress. And that would be helpful with getting rid of career politicians, which is one of the biggest problems in America right now, is that people don't go into politics to be statesmen and actually help their fellow citizens. They go into politics for self-aggrandizement and money and power. Political power is very, very addictive. It's just as addictive as heroin. And if we don't limit these people's access to power, then they will run away with it like they have. So I really like the Liberty Amendments. I really like Mark Levin's show. He's a smart guy. But I was listening to his show earlier today, and he brought up Mitch McConnell, which is I can't remember his exact title. Give me a sec. He's the majority leader of the Senate since January 3rd, 2015. He was in an interview earlier this week, and they brought up Obamacare, and he was like, well, you know, one of the first things that we're going to do is work to repeal Obamacare, which, you know, thanks to the bad example that Obama set, leftists, Democrats, who let this motherfucker get away with whatever he wants, Trump is going to inherit the horrible, horrible standard that Obama set with executive orders. So Trump could literally get in there on day one and just write out a fucking executive order and boom, Obamacare is gone. And that's a horrible thing. The president shouldn't have that kind of power. Obama shouldn't have that kind of power to instill Obamacare without the consent of the governed or the House and the Senate. Anyway, so everything that Obama did under executive order should be repealed immediately. And the executive order, we need to put like an amendment in the Constitution where the president is not allowed to issue executive orders. That takes away all of the power. It makes the Senate and the House completely perfunctory. It makes them a bread and circus show. And it makes the president a tyrant. That's exactly what it fucking does. When the president can do whatever he wants and install whatever kind of laws he wants, which the job of the president is not to make laws, in case you didn't know, then the president becomes a tyrant, a dictator. He dictates what he wants, and it is spoken into law. And that's not how shit should be. That's not how we do things in America. So hopefully, Trump is going to limit that. Very hopefully. But Mitch McConnell was asked about term limits for congressmen, and he said that elections are term limits. So Mark Levin's idea was, let's show him the exact fucking meaning of that phrase. Let's introduce him to the repercussions of his puerile and narcissistic and retarded thought. Let's vote him out. Let's vote him out. Get rid of him. Let's take Mitch McConnell out of the fucking Congress. Get rid of him. You're no longer a senator. Come 2 years from now, when everything comes up for election, you're done. You're done. You're out, buddy. And I highly, highly encourage all of the Republicans in my audience, all of the liberals, all of the Democrats, all of the libertarians, all of the whoever the fuck. Vote Mitch McConnell out. Get the fuck rid of him. That right there, that statement right there is enough for me to not like this guy because and want him out of government because we need to have term limits on our congressmen. That has to fucking happen if we want to fix this country, if we want to get rid of nepotism and corruption and career politicians. We have to vote people like this out. Elections are term limits? Okay, motherfucker. Let's see if you're still whistling that tune next election. But anyway. Yeah, and he... they're going to be trying to repeal Obamacare, and he doesn't want... He doesn't want to use the nuclear option for the filibuster. And let me get an exact... Because the Democrats are going to attempt to filibuster the repealing of Obamacare. It's just... This is accepted. We all knew this was fucking coming. Okay. So, this is what the nuclear option is, according to Wikipedia. The nuclear or constitutional option is a parliamentary procedure that allows the U.S. Senate to override a rule or precedent, by majority vote. The presiding officer of the United States Senate rules that the validity of a Senate rule or precedent is a constitutional question. They immediately put the issue to the full Senate, which decides by majority vote. The procedure thus allows the Senate to decide any issue by majority vote, even though the rules of the Senate specify that ending a filibuster requires the consent of 60 senators out of 100 for legislation, 67 for amending a Senate rule. Of course, the name is an analogy to nuclear weapons, being the most extreme option in warfare. Like, we really needed that spelled out for us. I appreciate your thoroughness, Wikipedia. So, yeah, basically what this means is if the Republican senators, if Mitch McConnell wasn't such a pussy, if he wasn't such a just cock-smoking faggot, then he could bring up the option, the idea in the Senate of repealing Obamacare. Of course, the Democrats would filibuster this, of course, because they like Obamacare. Why? I have no fucking idea. Maybe it's because it fucks the common man. Maybe that's it. I'll never be able to fathom the mind of the true dyed-in-the-wool leftist. The in-power leftist. I can fathom the mind of the common leftist, because I was one. I know what it's like. But the person in power who actually has the ability to make policy decisions? I don't understand those people. Like, you know this stuff is bad, dude. We all know this stuff is bad. How are you going to be so irresponsible with the lives of your citizens? You know, the people that you are supposed to be sworn to protect and whom you are accountable to. Mr. McConnell. But anyway. So, the Republicans bring up the option to repeal Obamacare. The Democrats filibuster. Mitch McConnell, if he wasn't, you know, such a coward, would go with the nuclear option and immediately put it to a vote in the Senate. The Republicans could then use their majority in the Senate to ram it through and get the fuck rid of Obamacare. But no, you want to work with these people. Now, so far as the average Democrat goes, the average person, the average leftist, I'm more than willing to try and work with that type of person. You know, they're usually just misguided. Usually. The people who instituted Obamacare, you know, all of those Democratic senators and representatives in the House, they're not interested in working with you. They're interested in holding you off until they can fill up the fucking House and the Senate again next midterm election. That's what they're interested in. And when they do, they're going to continue trying to butt-fuck the common people with programs like Obamacare. So if you want to get rid of it, then you need to get rid of it, dude. This is not something that we need to play pussyfoot with. This is not something that we need to play footsie under the table with the Democrats with. Get your foot out of the Democrats' crotch, draw it back, and kick them in the dick. Get rid of this failed policy. This failed socialist policy that nobody out there likes. Like, I even talk to people who are planning on voting for Hillary about Obamacare, who were planning on voting for Hillary. Some of them actually didn't vote, which, but I even talked to some of these people, and they all know that Obamacare is a fucking farce, and that it's not good for anybody. You know, the common people can get it once they're shown that, you know, their health insurance premiums are about to go up, and they're not going to be able to afford care either way, and they're either going to have to, you know, have no money, no disposable income whatsoever, or pay this gigantic fine, they understand. But the people who instituted this, I don't fathom what their game is. Maybe they just actually do want to destroy America. Maybe that's their eventual goal, and they're just keeping that on the down low. Maybe they're just ignorant. Maybe they're stupid. But you can't play fucking footsie with these people. And if you do play footsie with these people, 2 years, 2 years, if Trump gets in and his first act and the Senate's first act is to repeal Obamacare, and it gets enough time to work before the midterm elections and people start noticing the change, they're going to believe that the Republicans really do have their best interests at heart. When healthcare becomes affordable again, because competition will drive prices down, then people are going to notice. They're going to notice that they have more money in their paycheck. You know, when we repeal this ridiculous corporate tax that's at, what, 35-40% right now? I believe it's 35. We'll go with that. We'll go with that, just for the sake of argument. 35% corporate tax. When we get rid of that and we knock it down to 15, and these companies like Ford and you know, all of these manufacturing companies like Haier start bringing their plants back to America and employing Americans again, and those job boosts come in because they're not afraid of being taxed out of the fucking ballpark just for operating within our borders, people are going to notice, and they're going to start believing in Republicans again. You know, I might start believing in Republicans again. Part of the reason that I voted for Trump, you know, apart from the fact that he wasn't Hillary, is that he's like the anti-Republican Republican. He's just centrist enough to meet in the middle and draw off, like, the Bernie people and the libertarians and people like that. I mean, how many Bernie supporters, Bernie bros out there, how many of y'all went and voted for Trump after Hillary fucking stole the primary from Bern? Huh? How many of you? Because Trump isn't a traditional Republican. Now, I'm not saying Trump is going to be a great president. He might be a shit president. He might be the greatest president ever. We don't know. We literally do not know. It's a mystery. But the thing is that if the Republicans actually are right in all of their calculus and all of their equations and all of their economics knowledge and, you know, all of the plans that they have to, quote-unquote, make America great again, actually does make America great again and bring jobs back. Like, he doesn't even have to institute tariffs, which is one of the things that I really don't like that he was talking about during the primaries and during the election itself. You know, I really, really don't think he understands what tariffs are and how they work. But you don't even have to do that. Just lower the fucking corporate tax to a competitive rate, and these companies will start bringing their factories back to America. If that is true, then people really are going to notice, and the Republicans will sweep again in a couple of years. Now, one thing that you guys really have to do, and this is not coming from a Republican, I'm not an establishment guy, I'm not, you know, a Republican, I'm not a Democrat, I'm not even really a libertarian, little L libertarian, not a big L party libertarian. Especially when the Libertarian Party is fucking up so bad as to nominate Gary Johnson, who's not a libertarian, but he's more like, you know, a Democrat. You guys really have to be willing to let the social issues go. I mean, really. And I'm not talking about funding Planned Parenthood with taxpayer money and shit like that. You defund Planned Parenthood with taxpayer money, but you don't put them out of business. You let the people who need the abortions go buy the abortions. The people who want to get abortions, let them get abortions. Let the gay people get married. These aren't really big hits to take. As long as my tax dollars aren't funding Planned Parenthood, I could give a fuck what these women do with their vagina. Just so long as they're not reaching into my wallet. Because that's the big thing. That's the big thing. And Steven Crowder has made this point, and people like Raging Golden Eagle have made this point. They always like to say, no uterus, no opinion. As if, you know, because of my genitalia, because of the way I was born, I'm not allowed to have an opinion on this issue. And you know what? You may be right. Maybe I don't deserve to have an opinion on this issue. However, when you start reaching into my weekly paycheck to fund your bad decisions, it becomes my fucking problem and I get a say. You don't get to just take my money and do whatever the fuck you want with it. I get a say where my money goes. Okay? So, Republicans, don't outlaw abortion. Cut the taxes. We're not funding that with taxpayer money. Catholics don't have to pay taxes that will go to fund abortions. Okay? Really, just let the social shit go. Stop with the social conservatism. Stop with this demonization of gay people. You know, I don't necessarily... I've got several opinions on the trans issue, but I think that consenting adults, so long as they're not hurting anybody else, should be pretty much allowed to do whatever they want to do. So if some guy thinks he's a woman and he wants to chop his dick off and get a fake vag made, let him do it. But he has to pay for it, or he has to get a healthcare plan that will help him pay for it. My tax dollars don't go to fund that. My tax dollars should be going to fund roads and schools and public libraries and, you know, general shit like that. Upkeep of the country kind of stuff. Not some person who wants to become a woman or, you know, some woman who wants to become a man. I don't see why I should have to pay for that. There's no argument that you can make that will convince me why I should dig into my pocket and give my money to those people through the state, confiscating my wealth to pay for these people's decisions, bad or otherwise. So just let the gay marriage shit go. Stop with the whole war on drugs thing. Let the transgender thing go. Let it go. Stop with the whole outlawing abortion thing. Up to a certain point. Now I understand there's some give on that issue. There's a gray area there. You know, like my personal opinion is once you get about halfway through the second trimester, you had your chance. Now you got to deal with the consequences. It's kind of a person now. You know, that's kind of a baby. And I don't think you should be killing that kid. Before that, go for it. You had plenty of time. Plenty of time. That's at least 4.5 months where you can decide whether or not you fucking want that kid. And if you can't make your mind up on whether or not to have a child in 4.5 months, you got some serious problems and you shouldn't be having children anyway. So, that's where I stand on it, and that's where I think the Republican Party should be coming at this from. Just cool it with the social conservatism. Start going to fiscal conservatism, because that's where you guys are going to win. That's where you guys are going to win hearts and minds. When you start bringing jobs back to this country, when you start cutting taxes, when you start reining in the monstrous overreach of this government, when you start getting rid of the horrendous shit that Obama has done via executive orders, when you start not going to war with people, you know, for whatever fucking reason, you know, when you stop with the, we came, we saw, he died bullshit, and I know that was Hillary Clinton, but there weren't exactly a whole lot of Republicans out there actively fighting. You know, stop with the warmongering, stop with the, with most of the social conservatism, and just be a little bit more liberal, but staunch fiscal conservatives. That's where you guys are going to win, and that's how you're going to retain the House and the Senate in the midterm election. Okay? Free advice from somebody who's just sitting on the fucking sideline. So, One other thing that I really want to talk about, because I've seen a lot of this going on Twitter, and I've seen it going on Tumblr. Okay, I managed to find it. This is a really kind of pithy meme, but it really does explain why we have an electoral college very succinctly, okay? So, for those of you who don't, it'll be in the show notes on my website, it'll be in the description on YouTube, all of that shit right there. So, go check this out. This is a map of the electoral districts. So, most of the map is gray. Like, we're talking like 96% of this map is gray. There's splashes of blue all over, like someone just took a paintbrush with blue ink and just flipped it at a map of America. Mostly there's like Connecticut and New York and Pennsylvania and parts of Florida, some parts of Texas, a little bit around the South and the Midwest. And then over in California, there's a big swatch of blue. And then in Nevada and Utah. And then up here around Oregon and Washington. Little splotches everywhere, right? And the image says, for those of you who don't want to go and look at it, it says, now imagine living in the gray zones. Or it says half of the U.S. population lives in these counties. And the counties are in blue. And it says, now imagine living in the gray zones and the blue zones voted opposite of you. This is why we have an electoral college, Civics 101. You're welcome. So if we just had a popular vote, we just did the popular vote, then it's mob rule. And that's not how America is supposed to work, okay? We have an electoral college so that states like Pennsylvania and New York and California and Oregon and Washington and apparently fairly large parts of Florida don't just completely bulldoze over the rest of the country because there are more people living there. That's the purpose of the Electoral College, to make sure that every state has equal power, or roughly equal power. And there wouldn't be any, if we didn't have the Electoral College, there wouldn't be any campaigning in these other states, in these other areas. Shit. You know, Trump nor Clinton would have never come to South Carolina. Never would have seen them around here if it weren't for the electoral votes that we have. They would have gone to the heavy population centers and places like Chicago, where the people tend to vote Democrat. And there's a lot of them. So the people out there who are wanting to get rid of the Electoral College, what you're really trying to do is disenfranchise. And I don't mean disenfranchise like, you know, oh, well, you know, I'm kind of sad about this. No, I mean disenfranchise as in take the vote away from the people living in large swaths of the country because a numerical majority voted one way or the other. The American system is far more complicated than you think, and there are good reasons behind that complexity. You know, every man and woman gets to vote, and then we give all of our votes to our representatives, and then our representatives give the votes. They tally everything up, and then they vote. They vote the way that the people want them to vote. You have to get all of those people there, and that's the way the system works. That's the way the system works. And if you want to reform it, there are ways to do that. Mostly, it's through the Constitution. So, you know, have fun. But the one thing that I'm really glad about Hillary Clinton not becoming president is because it would have led to war with Russia and civil war. We would have been, and Russia is not the type of country that's just going to be like, oh, they're infighting. They're having a fight with self, comrade. Let's back off and give them 5 or 10 minutes to cool down. No. Because the way this would have worked, see if you can follow my logic train here, okay? The way this would have worked is Hillary has been blaming the Russians for every little bugaboo that creeps up, all of the WikiLeaks shit. It's all the Russians' fault. Hillary gets into power. What is she going to do except immediately go fucking psycho on the people she's been blaming for every bad thing to happen to her since WikiLeaks started targeting her? She's going to go to war with Russia. Like, if you think that this wasn't going... She wanted to instill a no-fly zone. Like, forget blaming Russia for everything, okay? Forget that. She wants to instill a no-fly zone in Syria. All right? Russia is currently engaged in military operations in Syria. We would be shooting down Russian planes, which is an act of war. And Russia would retaliate. And Russia is a nuclear superpower. And Russia does have bases in Cuba. Okay? So right there, just we don't even have to talk about WikiLeaks or how Hillary's blaming the Russians for everything else. Right there, the no-fly zone in Syria, boom, war with Russia. That's how it would work. You can cry and you can try to bring up all of your faulty logic against that point, but the point remains. No-fly zone in Syria equals war with Russia, and Hillary Clinton was adamant about a no-fly zone in Syria, ostensibly to get control of the ISIS situation, but that would just lead to war with Russia. So what kind of planner is this woman? Now, civil war, while we're at war with Russia, mind you. So let that war with Russia just kind of percolate in the back of your head. Just put that on the back burner for right now. Let it bubble up a little bit. Follow me down this rabbit hole. Hillary is a gun grabber. Don't even try and pretend that she isn't. Okay? We fucking well know she is, and your whole nobody's coming for your guns rhetoric is not going to fly. Hillary is a gun grabber. She wants to punish arms companies for things like school shootings and mass shootings. So if Heckler and Koch make a gun, and that gun is sold in Wisconsin, and some Wisconsinite buys that gun and walks into an elementary school and shoots up 15 kids, she wants to be able to sue Heckler and Koch for damages. That is going to drive gun manufacturers out of America and make guns more expensive because they'll be imports rather than made right here, and that will make them harder to get. Then, add on to that the fact that every leftist and their grandmother says, nobody's coming to take your guns, man. You're just being paranoid. We just want common sense gun control, man. Like Australia. Look at what happened with Australia. Well, Australia had a forced confiscation. Unless your life requires you to have a gun, like you're out in the middle of the fucking bush as a farmer, and you might run into some wild animal, like you might run into a tyrannid that wants to eat your shit. And you need your las gun to take care of the tyrannid. So you go to the government and you get a special license that allows you to carry that gun. And then they can say, oh, it's not a total gun ban. Some of these people have guns. Yeah, but your average citizen, I can't move to Melbourne. Sorry, Melbourne. I can't move to Melbourne and walk into a gun shop in Melbourne and buy a gun as a free citizen. Can't do it. I can't bring my gun to that country. The average citizen is not allowed to own firearms. And the quote-unquote buyback had legal repercussions for not letting the government, quote-unquote, buy back your gun. Which, it's not a buyback. They never owned it in the first place. That's the inherent flaw in that thinking, is it's not a buyback. The government never owned it. You didn't buy that gun from the government. You bought it from a licensed arms dealer who in turn bought it from a production company, from a manufacturing company that produced that gun specifically to sell for a certain amount of money to make a profit. The government is nowhere in that equation. The government never owned the gun. The company owned the gun. The salesman owned the gun. And then you owned the gun. The government never owned the gun. The government can't buy back what it never owned, okay? So that's your first inherent flaw in this little buyback thing. But when you have a quote-unquote buyback, a voluntary buyback, and you say, okay, well, we're going to buy your gun from you, and if you don't sell us your gun, we'll put you in prison. That's not a fucking buyback. That's a forced confiscation. They're threatening to jail you if you do not comply. That is use of force, and they are confiscating your gun, whether you want them to or not. Whether you take the money or not, they're coming for your fucking gun. They're just being kind of nice about telling you that you're not allowed to defend yourself from them anymore. So, you people, you leftists here in America, really, really think that gun owners here are stupid enough to believe your double-faced bullshit lies when you're talking out of both sides of your fucking face about nobody's coming for your guns. Just look at Australia. We just want reasonable gun control, common sense gun control like they did in Australia. Motherfucker, they forcefully confiscated the guns in Australia. So which is it you want? Do you want common sense gun regulation like we already have, by the way? Or do you just want to completely disarm the American populace? Pick one and only one. Because if it's common sense gun regulation that you want, congrats, we've already fucking got that. Now step the fuck back. If it's a forced confiscation you want, if you want to disarm the average American, then try and come and fucking take them, bitch. And I can already point you to a couple of instances where this has happened. Okay, here's one example that I was able to find. What with the election just having happened, and there were a lot of gun control bills up, apparently. They're kind of taking over the news. So, here's one, and I'll put the link to this in the show notes. So, this is from the conservativetreehouse.com. 250 Connecticut police officers refuse to enforce gun confiscation. 1,100 plus still undetermined. A showdown is developing. This is from 2014. A showdown is developing between a sizable number of Connecticut state police officers and the politicians who passed into law highly restrictive gun control, gun bans, and bans on high-capacity magazines. Gun rights legal expert and activist David Hardy reported Friday that 250 law enforcement officers in Connecticut have signed an open letter stating that they will not enforce the new anti-gun and magazine laws, which they consider to be a violation of the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. A major news story on these developments is due to be published soon, but Hardy received an advance notice via email from Tyler Jackson, the head of the Connecticut Peace Officers Association, the organization that sent the open letter. So yeah, that's 250 out of about 1,350 police officers, and the rest didn't say that they would do it. They said they were undecided. So, not only are you up against the American citizenry itself with this gun confiscation stuff, you're up against the parts of the Army, the National Guard, the Coast Guard, the Air Force, the Marines, all of the branches of the U.S. military, all of the branches of the U.S. law enforcement, and a fair portion of the citizens. Gun control is a losing argument for Democrats. So, if Hillary got into the situation where she was able to executive order her way into just about whatever she wanted, it would have been civil war on top of that war with Russia that I hope you've kept percolating in the back of your mind, because that was still a threat before Trump was elected. That would have turned into civil war. There would have been parts of the military that absolutely started going door to door, parts of the military and police, that absolutely would have started going door to door and confiscated guns. There would have been a certain small portion of the citizenry that would have surrendered them. Then there would have been a much larger portion of the citizenry, and a fair portion of the police and the armed forces that absolutely resisted this unconstitutional tyranny. And that would have led to blood in the streets. People would have died. It would have been civil war. And that absolutely would have been the end of America. Period. Not this slow death that we've been experiencing. That we have time to arrest. There's still time. We have time to arrest it. But it would have been over faster than you can say, pass me some borscht, Victor. You see, Ivan. So yeah, that's a big part of the reason that I voted Trump. Right there. That prospect terrified me. either being drafted in the war against Russia or or actively fighting the government in my own country. Yeah, that's scary. That's scary. I'll take the guy who's more friendly with Russia and doesn't want to come and get my guns any day. Because even if I was quote-unquote more reasonable about the gun control thing, there's a lot of very well-armed people out there who wouldn't be. So my particular decision on this is a moot point. It's what's real. It's what's reality. It's what world do we live in. And we live in the one where a presidential executive order forcing gun confiscation on the American populace would lead to civil war. Hillary's presidency doesn't sound so good now, does it? And I'm not being hyperbolic at all. I am dead fucking serious. So yeah, that's really fucking terrifying. But now that we've gone through the Electoral College, now that we've gone through another reason why I voted Trump instead of Hillary, as if I needed any more, now I would like to talk about quite possibly my favorite thing that has come out of this election. It warms the cockles of my little black soul. It just tickles my pickle. Oh, Lord, it feels so good. Praise, kick, Hosanna. The death of the mainstream media. So strap in, kids. This is about to get fun. You know, a lot of people like to make fun of the aggros, the anti-Gamergate people who say that, you know, Gamergate helped Trump win. They laid the groundwork for Trump to win. And oh my God, it's all Goober Gamer's fault. And you know what? I haven't read a single one of those articles. I haven't read not a one of them. But, that idea got planted in my head just by reading the headline from these histrionic wenches. And I started turning that over in my mind. Just the concept. Is there a conceivable way that Gamergate could have done this that's not some hysterical nonsense? And yeah, there is. So, strap on your helmet. We're about to get deep. I hope you brought your spelunking gear, because this rabbit hole never ends. So, what was Gamergate? Gamergate was a consumer revolt. For those of you who haven't been playing along at home for the past 2 years, Gamergate was a consumer revolt against the gaming press because they were all so hideously monstrously corrupt and incestuous that level of hatred against their own fan base, against the people who paid their bills, could not be allowed to stand anymore. And a coalition of the willing! Now, a coalition of gamers came together on sites like 4chan and 8chan and Tumblr and Reddit and Twitter. And we started digging. And oh boy, did we strike gold. Turns out, just about every single mainstream gaming publication is insanely, or at least was, insanely corrupt. And when I say insanely, I mean these people were talking, were coordinating articles. They had a massive email list and a chat room where they would coordinate to publish articles. That's how the Gamers Are Dead thing happened. When all of those websites published the just about verbatim exact same article all on one day or within a couple of days of each other, they thought they could stagger that shit out and we wouldn't notice. So, all of these gamers decided that this was fucked up, that this wasn't going to stand, and we came together and we decided to take down the corrupt gaming press. And what's more, we won. We won. Many of the people who were actually implicated in this corruption were fired. They lost their jobs. They're now working for no-name publications, or they're flipping burgers, or what the fuck are they? They just dropped off the map completely. Almost all of the websites that were implicated in all of this, including The Escapist and Rock Paper Shotgun and other places, I don't think Kotaku did it, but it's fucking Kotaku. What do you expect? They were owned by Gawker, which is not dead, by the way. They just, like, Gizmodo Media basically, like, attached electrodes into the shambling corpse and got it walking again. So Gawker isn't dead, even though they're not publishing under Gawker anymore, and Hulk Hogan fucking bankrupted those assholes.
Oh yeah, brother. Hulkamania's coming down.
But,
Hulkamania came down with the thunder, brother.
But we won. We won that fight. The game's press is now marginally better than it was. Marginally. There's still a lot of fucking crazy leftists and feminists out there that write for these websites, and that's why nobody takes them seriously anymore. But Gamergate showed that a consumer revolt against corrupt media can be effective. It can work. We can win. We just have to never, ever stop. Be tireless. So, the U.S. presidency comes along. The presidential election comes along. And everybody starts to notice really funny shit going down with the media. And people start rumbling. Well, these guys might be corrupt. They might be colluding. There might be some backdoor deals going on here that we don't know about. Then enter the WikiLeaks.
Enter the WikiLeaks.
WikiLeaks dropped a bunch of emails that basically showed that, yeah, the mainstream media is all completely and totally corrupt. There's like a couple of, you know, outlets that weren't implicated. Because nobody would pay those fuckers to do anything. Sites like Breitbart and InfoWars and shit like that, which is why they're so popular right now. They came out of this not only smelling like roses, but sipping champagne, because they got record-breaking numbers this year. But we found out that the media was corrupt, and a coalition of people, very similar to what happened in Gamergate, decided to take these motherfuckers down and fact-check them in real time and absolutely destroy the narrative that they were building. They took tactics from Gamergate, like red-pilling hashtags, popular hashtags. So basically what you do when you red-pill a hashtag is you put information, like let's say CNN released a shitty article that was just full of misinformation and lies.
I know, it's hard to believe coming from CNN.
But, so they release this, and a bunch of people debunk it, and they go on to Twitter, and they, like, let's say the top trending thing is cute puppies. You know, and it's just, the tag is full of pictures of cute puppies. Well, then thousands of people who decided to debunk this nonsense that CNN was putting out go on to Twitter, and they organize around one hashtag, like Gamergate did. And that's their organization. That's their little planning center. And then they start dropping this into cute puppies. Just fill up the cute puppies hashtag with all of this shit relating to how corrupt CNN is. That's what you call red-pilling a hashtag. And then all of these people who are just scrolling the cute puppies hashtag because they really like pictures of cute puppies. And I mean, who doesn't? But, you know, all of these people who are reading this hashtag suddenly get bombarded with all of this information about how, you know, CNN is corrupt and they're publishing false articles. Boom, you just opened up your message to millions of people. And a lot of them are going to get curious. And a lot of them are going to go do digging of their own. And that's kind of what happened with this whole WikiLeaks thing. WikiLeaks started dropping. The people who paid attention to WikiLeaks, you know, started talking about this. And they started red-pilling hashtags. And, you know, I'm not really one for Matrix metaphors, but it's really the most... It's really the most effective and ubiquitous metaphor that we have for this kind of thing right now, so I'm kind of forced to use it. But, they start red-pilling these hashtags, and boom, CNN is exposed, and they have to issue retractions, and then it comes out that the DNC and the Clinton campaign are directly colluding with these people via more WikiLeaks releases. And now their credibility is so completely and utterly fucking shattered that I will believe an article on InfoWars right now before I believe an article on HuffPo or Associated Press or Al Jazeera, or, you know, insert your mainstream media outlet of choice right here. They've just completely killed their credibility trying to get Hillary Clinton elected. They pulled out all of the stops. They pulled out all of the lies and mudslinging that they possibly fucking could. They avoided every single Hillary controversy like it was the fucking plague. People who talked about the Hillary controversies got their fucking mics cut. They got their signal dropped, quote unquote. Oh, that sucks. You know? And now they're done. They're done, guys. They're done. And now it's time for the alternative media to fucking take over. And we as consumers, we as media consumers, we as people who read the news, we as people who want our journalists to be held accountable for the shit that they say, have to do our fact-checking too. We have to make sure that these people on sites like Breitbart and Daily Wire and I would say InfoWars, but nobody really expects InfoWars to tell the truth. So when they do, you're kind of shocked. You know, it's a pleasant surprise. Oh my God, InfoWars was actually right about something. Holy shit. You know, it's like Christmas. It's like getting that thing on your birthday that you always wanted. We have to hold these people accountable. We have to hold their feet to the fire and let them know that if they start fucking around, if they start getting a big head, just like CNN did, just like all of these other mainstream media outlets did, if they start getting a big head and thinking that they are able to control the narrative instead of report the news, then they can be just as easily destroyed as the mainstream media and the gaming media is. So, in a way, to tie this all back, in a way, Gamergate really did lay the foundation for the destruction of the mainstream media, and as such, as a consequence of that, Trump's presidency. I know, it's not the most solid case. It's probably very different from what the SJWs out there are writing about how Gamergate laid the groundwork for Trump's presidency. But they're wrong about everything, so, I mean, why is it surprising? My interpretation of this concept differs from theirs. But yeah, they're done. They're done. They are fucking toast, and it tastes so good. This whole fucking thing has just been like a smorgasbord of just, oh my God, this is the most delicious steak. Oh, this wine is just so amazing. It goes so well with this steak and potatoes. It's just cooked to perfection and delivered right to my table and steamy hot and red meat. Yummy. Yummy. So good. I'm just, that's one of the things that I'm really happy about. Them people been going batshit crazy for two fucking days. Like, I've even seen a journalist who writes at The Guardian. Call for the assassination of Donald Trump. Actually call for the assassination of Donald Trump. These people are losing their fucking minds, fam, and it is glorious to behold. Like, that plague of frogs hit them hard, man. They really couldn't handle the meme magic. All of their machinations, all of their supposed control of the narrative, all of their gatekeeping, all of the bullshit that journalists aren't supposed to do got them in so much fucking trouble. And now they can't handle the fact that people would rather go to Milo Yiannopoulos or Alex fucking Jones or Ben Shapiro or Andrew Klavan or Stefan Molyneux over them. They just cannot handle it. They are losing their goddamn minds. And it's wonderful. So yeah. All right, I've been going on for about an hour and a half, and I really shouldn't have been. I shouldn't even be drinking. Because my voice has been getting kind of scratchy. Maybe you've been noticing it the last couple of podcasts. I've been doing my bad. I've been taking multivitamins, trying to stave off a cold. But I think I've just been working my voice too hard. Like, I about blew myself out recording that H.P. Lovecraft book. So I've been trying to pace myself. Like, for the past couple of days, I've just been keeping quiet. You know, and not really doing anything with my voice. Because I knew I was going to talk my ass off in this podcast. I'm just trying to pace myself with regards to recording. But Hopefully I'll have the Enjoy the Decline book out, which, if you're worried about the way that the country is going, if you're worried about the presidential election, you should get Enjoy the Decline, or you could just wait for the audiobook. I mean, I'm not going to make royalties off of it, but you'll get to hear the sweet, dulcet tones of my wonderful voice talk about how you really shouldn't be all that concerned with the downfall of the United States of America. So that's something to look forward to. Hopefully that'll be up somewhere around mid-November. Or not mid-November, mid-December. It'll definitely be up by the end of the year. But I've been taking part of this week off from recording just because this whole like salt mining has just been too much fun. I'm sorry. Sorry, Aaron. I haven't been working as hard as I should be, but this is just too much fucking fun. But I'm gonna get back to work in the next couple of days here, get back to work over the weekend. So hopefully Sunday I'll be able to record a couple of more chapters. You know, have to space them out, drink me some hot tea with some honey and lemon instead of fucking Jim Beam. But everything is lovely right now, except for the riots. That kind of sucks, you know. It really sucks that the Democrats are such projecting crybabies. Like, can you fucking believe it, guys? Like, all of the shit that the Democrats were talking about how violent Trump supporters are going to get if Trump loses the election. And then what's the first fucking thing that happens after Trump is elected? There's weeping and gnashing of teeth and you know, spreading of ashes on the face and the renting of garments and the wearing of sackcloth. And then there's riots in the streets because the Democrats can't accept the results of a fair election in a republic. All that shit they were talking about with Trump with that throwaway line. You know, will you accept the results of the election, Mr. Trump? Oh, of course I will, if I win. And they're like, oh my God, Donald Trump is not going to accept the results of the election. He's going to cause a problem. He's going to blah, 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 blah. And then as soon as their gal loses, time to riot in the streets, everybody. We didn't get our way. Let's go throw a fucking tantrum and burn some shit down. Fuck the police. Black Lives Matter. You fucking histrionic lunatics. You know what? You know what? No, guys. Seriously. To all of the Trump protest people out there, please, for me, keep it up. Keep it up, guys. Because your actions right now are going to guarantee that not only will the midterm elections result again in a majority Republican House and Senate, but that Trump will win again in 2020. And of course, you people won't be able to deal with the consequences of your actions. You'll blame everybody and anything but yourselves. Because God forbid you take blame for fucking up as spectacularly as you did. So just keep going, guys. And then we'll get 4 more years. All right, that's the podcast, guys. I love you all very much. Make America great again. Hoo-ah. Praise Keck. This has been awesome. This has been a great week. I'm just so fucking happy to be alive right now. May we all live in interesting times, fam. All right, that's it, everybody. Peace out. Have a good weekend. Mwah. Let's make America great again, baby.